Welcome to the Artist Work Ethic Podcast. I'm Mike Pelak. I'm a screenwriter, actor, and filmmaker who's always looking to maximize my time and potential as I work to break in. In this podcast, I talk to artists of all kinds who have seen success in their fields about their process, habits, and work ethic. Today on the show is Sam Ferrer. Sam's a musician who plays bass in the bands Maroon 5 and Phantom Planet. In addition to playing in those bands, Sam also writes and produces music when he's not on tour, working with artists such as Sarah Bareilles, Band of Horses, and Mandy Moore. A couple quick things before we jump into the episode. I've talked in the past about myself working on breaking into screenwriting. Please check out blackoilfilms.com/screenwriting. There you can check out some of the screenplays I've written. I have the first 10 pages of each one uploaded, but feel free to email me at theartistsworkethicpodcast@gmail.com. And I'd be happy to send you a full script if you're interested in reading. Last thing before we get into the episode, I would love anyone listening to subscribe, rate, and review the Artist's Work Ethic Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. It really helps us put the show out there for more people to listen to. All right, Sam, thank you for coming on with me today.
Yeah, no problem. Good morning.
So when you went into music and things started to click for you early on, how confident were you in yourself, and did you have a backup plan of any kind?
You mean like when I was like 15, 16?
I mean those early days, call it when Phantom Planet started touring.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the joy of starting when you're that young, is you have unlimited confidence and you don't think about the future. So you only join a band because you think you're the best band in the world. You know what I mean? Like, that's the reason you're in a band. You think you're better than everybody else, you know, and like you and whether or not that confidence lasts longer than a certain amount of time, that's basically why you stay in the band, is you think you're awesome, you know. And combine that with just being like kind of cocky 16-year-olds. I thought we were in like the coolest band ever. Like, we had a great lead singer and we were fun live, and we were pulling fans from like so many different high schools. So our shows were instantly packed, and then we got signed really quickly, you know? So we definitely had not like a bad sense of confidence, but like, I don't know, we thought we were cool and we had a good vibe and we liked each other a lot, you know? And so we had each other's back. So the confidence part in the business came pretty quick. And then again, we got lucky with just like a string of things that happened where we got signed early. We had a good producer make us a cool record, and then we had the backing of Geffen Records. And then I think it starts getting a little bit more like when you have to change labels, or the music business changes. But at the beginning, it was like it was a pretty fun time. Like we didn't think at all negatively, which was great.
Yeah. You've done a lot in your career between the bands. You've produced a lot of music. You do some painting and drawing, which your maps are super cool.
Oh, thank you.
How are you kind of structuring your day to keep, you know, you mentioned earlier that you did a podcast for a while. How are you structuring your day to keep all of these things kind of focused where you need to focus, but pushing things forward that need to go forward?
I personally struggle with it a lot. It's really hard. I have a wife and two kids, and schools and all, and, all the sort of necessary things you have to deal with as a parent. My wife is studying to be a therapist, so she's in school herself. I am in two bands and I produce and write probably three times a week when I'm home. Art's kind of taken a step to the side, but even when I was doing that, like, yeah, it's insane, like, to try to like organize it. But the way I've kind of gotten through it is scheduling like on a proper calendar. Like, I have to use a calendar, I have to use reminders, and just kind of put my what I want to do, prioritize it in a way that makes sense. I have a team that helps me out with my writing production, that work for my publishing company, and then they have their own thing, and so they help me like kind of place out production and writing like sessions and schedules and stuff, so that helps. And then, you know, Phantom Planet's got a manager, and Maroon's got a manager, and basically I have a calendar that's got like just different colors all over it, you know. And it's honestly not as crazy as it sounds, because everything sort of just seems to work out, and timing wise, But it's more like when you get asked, I used to love, for example, like filling in for bass for a friend or like traveling with my family. Those are the things that are kind of hard. Like work seems to be I'm able to control that, but it's like the sort of things that you could freely do when you were younger or had less responsibility. That's kind of the hard part, finding time to do this stuff that is very important, you know, like keeping your family happy and like traveling and making sure your mom and dad see you and like things like
that. Yeah.
That starts to struggle a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, just the organization I find is important. My wife wants to kill me because last week I bought a big like dry erase board. And she's like, that dry erase board has to go to the basement. We can't, that's not going to be up here. But
yeah, I mean, I think you got to do what you got to do. You know, like some people are very visual and need to see it every single day. And if it's in the basement, you're not going to see it very often. I mean, unless you're down there all the time. I don't know how your household works. Yeah. But me, it's like important to have it very clear. That's why I really got into reminders on my iPhone. Because it, you know, it's real easy to just quickly click in it and you can have all these folders and things, you know, so that's helped me a lot.
Do you think your work ethic came from how you were raised in some way or some other external factor that you've picked up in your life?
Interesting. I would say I think that my work ethic is driven more by connecting with people in as big as possible. I know that sounds kind of maybe a little cheesy, but like, I thought about the other day about why songwriters write songs and why bands are in bands. And I think it honestly is just to make us feel a little less alone. We have so much trouble. Like I have a lot of trouble being by myself. And when you write something or create something that someone else reacts to, it makes you feel a little bit less alone. If that makes any sense.
Sure. Yeah, for sure.
That's become my work ethic. You know what I mean? Like I need to make sure that I'm making enough stuff out there that connects people, you know, because it makes me really happy.
Well, it's almost like the reward or the satisfaction you're getting out of it, not necessarily a financial, but just the, like, I guess an emotional reward.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I have to make money and that's the way the world works. And to have a number one hit single would be amazing, but not, it's not just, I mean, obviously the money part of it is necessary. Don't get me wrong. The thing that I think that kind of scares me though, is like, if you do get that number one hit, like how long does that high last for? That's the other kind of tricky thing about what we do. But
what's something in your career? I find the concept of making your own luck to be an interesting one. What's some way in your career you've done that for yourself, or maybe an example where you've gone above and beyond and done the things that someone else might not have done to push yourself forward?
We're talking about multiple careers. So like as a band member, I think the thing that was the luckiest is just knowing the right people when we were kids, you know, and like that. I mean, I know it sounds really obvious, but like when we were 16, we found Jason, our drummer at the time's family friend, knew this guy, Dan Field, who ended up being our manager. And he was just a great guy. And he had a great roster of friends. He knew Spike Jones. He knew Johnny Knoxville was like interviewed us once. And he had great taste in music. And I would consider us very lucky to find him when we did, because he kind of pushed us in good directions. And then he knew a friend that ran the Viper Room, or someone knew the Viper Room, so that we were able to play there, have our first show. And then he knew someone that booked the Troubadour, and they didn't make us pay to play. And so we never had to pay to play. It's like these little things. I think back, I'm like, oh my God, that we got really lucky that we met at the right time. The other thing that I think about a lot that was very lucky, and I mentioned earlier, is that we all went to different high schools. So like the guys in Maroon all went to the same high school, for example. So when they had shows, they had to rely on their school telling their friends, right? And it worked out great because they were a great, great band even back then. So it ended up growing naturally. But we had a kind of an unfair advantage because we had four high schools to pass out flyers at, to hand demos at. So our shows were pretty big straight away because, you know, everyone wants to do something cool when you're in high school on a Friday night, you know? So that was lucky. And then again, we just knew the right people at the right time. We got very lucky in that sense. We definitely handed out like tapes and stuff on Third Street Promenade when we were, you know, to random strangers constantly. And maybe one of those connected with someone, who knows?
I mean, I still think that's still a good example because, you know, maybe 80% of the other bands out there are just going to sit in their basement, maybe make some phone calls, but not really, not just get out there and do something. I mean, I from a film perspective, I think of it as, you know, there might be people who write a script and send it out in an email all day long, but then there's some other percentage of people who are going to go out and like make their short film, you know, and give somebody something to watch. Just kind of taking that next step that not everyone else does is just something I find interesting.
Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting way to put it too, is like, I don't think we ever wanted to rely on luck, if that makes sense. I think we were like, no, we're just gonna go play a million shows and record a ton of songs and hand out things and flyers. And I made so many flyers when I was 16. I can't even tell you. I'm like, really put a lot of love in all the artwork and made sure that like we had. The other thing that we did that really early on that was really smart is once we started building a little bit of a following is we always had guest lists that were like 150 people. And like our manager would tell the Roxy or the Troubadour, it was like, sorry, like we have a huge guest list because we wanted all these cool people in LA to come see the show, feel special. And it just worked. It got our shows really like packed early on, you know? Yeah, don't wait. We definitely didn't want to wait around for luck to hit us. You know, like it's just like, just got to go do the work, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Talk to people, play shows, get as good as you can on your instruments, like, you know, all that. You know, it sounds hokey, but it's true. Like he's got to play. You know?
Well, it's like the obvious reality that some people don't get, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
How important do you think persistence and perseverance are to work in the arts?
Another valid, almost dangerous question, because you don't want to tell someone to give up on their dreams ever. You know what I mean? Because it's soul crushing. Is there a time when you need to abandon ship and try something else? Maybe, but again, we got pretty lucky early on. Like we had a good support and stuff like that. And our parents all supported us and all that kind of stuff. You know, when you're 5 or 6 years into it and you haven't seen any success, that's when it gets hard to like stay with it. And we knew so many bands back then and a lot of them have moved on to other careers and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know what that tipping point is, you know, like, cause there is something to be said about not having a plan B, because it keeps you on your path. But at the same time, like you have kids, you know what I mean? Like you're not going to, at a certain point you have to make money. That's just the way it is, you know? Yeah,
for sure.
So I don't know. It's a good question. It's a dangerous question, but.
So you're sitting down to write a song. Are you doing that in the early morning, late at night, or just middle of the day, whenever? What's your preferred time?
Tricky. Most of the time, mornings are really good for me now because I have kids and I'm up at 6:30, you know, getting the kids to school and all that kind of stuff. You try to do a little bit of self-care. And then once they go to like school, then you have a bunch of coffee and then my brain's like up, ready to go. And so I've been trying to get all my, because I basically write with people.
Yeah.
You would call me like almost like a writer producer. Like I tend to run the computer, make the tracks, make the music, all that kind of stuff. And then help out with lyrics and stuff when I need to. I'm trying to get everyone more on my schedule. Cause I think 10 to 2, like the time. But a good chunk of my friends are like, no, hell no. Like 7 to 12 is like when I'm, and maybe it's, I should probably do a survey of age. Cause it's just, as you get older, you'll be, I don't know. My brain about 3 o'clock is like when I start shutting down, like I'm tired. Yeah. No, I can't do it anymore. But I do believe I try to keep it limited. I don't work very well more than 4 hours, maybe 5. And then my brain's just like, I think you start doing the same stuff. You don't challenge yourself as much. And it's just easier to be like, let's just pick this up tomorrow, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Anything that you want to plug or talk about before we go?
Well, I'm in Vegas with the Maroon guys right now. And we're playing this residency. It's super fun. If you like, you know, a good entertaining pop show, and it's highly recommend checking out. We'll probably do it again next year. Phantom Planet's doing a little bit of a tour in California, September 19th to the 22nd. That's all on our website, phantomplaid.net. I know it's a little weird to say, but I've got an all-time low song right now out called Calm Down that's doing pretty well. Please listen to that. But yeah, I'm all over the place. I'm trying to have some fun.
So. Awesome. Well, Sam, thanks for chatting with me today.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you so much for listening today. Please subscribe to the Artist Work Ethic podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts, and please rate and review the show. Follow us on Instagram at The Artist's Work Ethic, and check out theartistsworkethic.com.